Welcome to the online ministry of La Jolla United Methodist Church, a congregation of faithful Christians along the beautiful Southern California coast. Together we seek to grow in individual spirituality and in community with one another. All are invited to join in this vibrant faith community. More information can be found on our website at lajollaunitedmethodist.org. May you be enriched in the hearing of these words, and may you receive and enjoy God's blessing.
Today's scripture reading comes to us from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verses 38 through 44, as recorded in the Common English Bible. As he was teaching, he said, "Watch out for the legal experts. They like to walk around in long robes. They want to be greeted with honor in the markets. They long for places of honor in the synagogues and at banquets. They are the ones who cheat widows out of their homes, and to show off, they say long prayers. They will be judged most harshly." Jesus sat across from the collection box for the temple treasury and observed how the crowd gave their money. Many rich people were throwing in lots of money. One poor widow came forward and put in two small copper coins worth a penny. Jesus called his disciples to him and said, "I assure you that this poor widow has put in more than everyone who's been putting money in the treasury. All of them are giving out of their spare change. But she, from her hopeless poverty, has given everything she had, even what she needed to live on." The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Amen.
You know, I'd said earlier during our sort of welcome and introduction that we concluded our last sermon series on the parables of Jesus. And last Sunday, I said something that, frankly, I was a little bit nervous about saying as boldly as I did. But I said it boldly anyway. And the way I concluded the sermon last Sunday was, listen, if we're going to be Christians, if we're going to worship Jesus and God and the Holy Spirit, right, the triune God, if we're going to do that, then maybe we ought to act like that makes a difference for us. Like maybe we ought to live our lives differently if we're going to be Christians. And I felt a little worried that maybe that was bold. And I was a little surprised, my friends, that several of you came up to me after worship that day and said, "Thank you. More, please." Now, I'm not going to stand behind the pulpit and bang on it, right? I'm not very much a fire and brimstone preacher. Let's be honest, I'm not much of a pulpit preacher. But isn't that an important element of our faith and spirituality? Like if we're going to show up in here on a regular basis, if we're going to enter into times of prayer, if we're going to read scripture, shouldn't we allow it to change us? And shouldn't we allow it to change how we live our lives in the world? Don't you think that if enough of us did that, that the world would look different? Because when I look at the world right now, I kind of want more people to live like Jesus matters. And again, just like with the RSVP thing, I don't say that as a guilt trip, I say that as an opportunity. Because I think culturally we're suffering from a profound sense of narcissism and selfishness. It's tragic to see. But maybe if we'd all love our neighbor, maybe that would be different. Maybe if we didn't look so inward and instead looked outward, that would be different. Our text today starts in a way that I think I and several of us in the room might find challenging. The first thing is that Jesus says, watch out for the legal experts. I was going to say, I know we got some JDs in the room. Watch out for the legal experts. Now, a little bit of history on the legal experts in sacred texts. Legal experts started, I did a little bit of research on this. The legal experts sort of started out, if you look at some of the texts all the way back as far as Jeremiah, Kings, Isaiah, scribes in Israel, which is the legal experts, they were really secular officials who could sort of decipher legal documents. And I confess to you, my friends, I've been reading a lot of legal documents lately, and it really is a whole new language. And we need smart and educated people to help us decipher that legal language. But after the Babylonian exile, it became a time where the scribes, they got more prominence, not only at discerning legal documents, but the law of Moses. And so they became religious leaders. Does that make sense, that sort of history of scribes? So as we look at this opening text, where it first says, watch out for legal experts, let's understand that these are religious leaders. So our attorney friends were okay for a minute. But then it says about those legal experts who are religious leaders, they like to walk around in long robes. And they like to be recognized in the marketplaces. Not just in the worship spaces, but in the public spaces. They look for the places of honor in the synagogues, you know, the seats right up front, and at the banquets. Have I mentioned today that we're having a celebratory potluck in honor of your pastors today? Do you see why? Like the lectionary, I didn't plan this text for today. This isn't the lectionary, but it cuts kind of deep today. But when I look at this, I don't think it says that legal experts are bad. I think we've covered that pretty well. And I don't think it says that religious leaders are bad. I don't think it says that wearing a robe is bad. But how I read this text is, if you're doing it for you, if you're doing it for yourself, then maybe that's not the right way to do it. Because I'll tell you, friends, when I go to, a town council meeting or a city council meeting or a county supervisor's meeting, I haven't been to any of those since COVID started. I did have the privilege once of being invited to a county supervisor's meeting and being the pastor who prayed at the beginning of that meeting. That's an incredible privilege. It's nice to have your face on TV. But if you do it for you, if you do it for self-promotion, instead of for the glory of God, maybe that's where the problem lies. Now, this story is immediately next to a story that we find a little bit easier. The story of the widow's mite is probably how you've heard it, right? And we know the story. There's lots of people around who are giving to support the temple. Now, I learned something in some of the continued research that I did on this part of the text, that there were actually a couple of ways that this would happen. Now, you may have heard before that there are like 13, they're like big metal, they're sometimes called trumpets, but they're these big metal receptacles, and people would put their money in one of these 13 receptacles along the wall of the temple, and it would make a lot of noise. Maybe you've heard preachers preach about that before. Maybe you haven't. I see a couple of shaking heads. That's one of the things that would happen. They were trumpet-shaped receptacles against the wall of the court of women in the temple. Okay, and people would put their money in. And those who had the most wealth, but particularly, like I imagine there were other kinds of currency other than coin. Maybe I'm historically wrong about that, but I imagine it that way. Can you imagine if we had just a big metal trumpet as you walked in, right? We have our offering plates at the entrance, and maybe if we had something big and metal, and you know, you could put a $5 bill in there, but, you know, wouldn't it make more noise if you brought in a bunch of dimes? Would that maybe draw some attention? Oh, look how much that person gives. But what I didn't know is another tradition of the temple of the time is this. One of the things that would happen in the temple treasury is a priest sometimes, right? This isn't the metal trumpet thing. This is a different situation. But sometimes a priest would announce publicly, this person just gave this much to the temple treasury, right? We're just concluding stewardship season. I mean, what if I took all those pledge cards that you all have sent in and I read them off up here? All right, well, you know, Gail gave this much. And the Leopolds gave this much, and the Lincolns gave this much, and the Wirtzes gave this much, and the Butteras gave this much. Wouldn't that feel awkward? Wouldn't that be weird? I have a challenging question for you that's not really a part of the sermon, but if we did that, would that change how you give? And if it did, maybe that's worth examining. That's not part of the sermon today. That's just a little side. So it's unclear when Jesus is with the disciples outside and he observes the way. It's unclear if it's the priest goes up and says, this is how much somebody gave, or it's about those trumpets. Can you imagine the priest going up, though? Well, this widow gave a penny. And how that must have sounded. Or in the midst of these 13 trumpets along the wall in the women's court, were you... might imagine people pouring in bags and bags of coins and all this ruckus and noise. And then you hear in the middle of a silent moment, plink, plink. And everybody knows. And of course, what is assumed in that moment? Well, I mean, I guess that's okay. She gave a penny. But what does Jesus say? In the midst of that ruckus and that noise, in the midst of those who might have the most power and influence around the temple, Jesus points at her. She comes. She comes to the temple and she gives it all. She's all in. Every ounce of who she is, she's in. In fact, the Greek word that is used around this offering is bios, which is the same root as biology. She gives her life. Now, why would these stories be next to each other? Might we imagine that Jesus is teaching about the scribes, and then he says, all right, let's go over to the temple. We're going to go to the women's court, and we're going to watch everybody give their money. Or is the author of the Gospel of Mark trying to connect these two stories and help us to see that, like some of those legal experts who just want to publicize themselves for their own good, for their own egos, for their own self-worth, for their own edification, for their own elevation in the cultural ladder, contrast those with the woman who gives everything she is and everything she has to her Creator and her Savior and her God. And maybe that invites us to think about who we are. Do we give of ourselves in the way that this widow does? Like, I think if we're honest about, like individually, inwardly, nobody has to raise any hands here. But individually, if we ask that question, can we honestly say that everything we have, every ounce of who we are, every part of our life is given to God? Can we say that? If we can, great. But I'm not sure we can. I'll be honest with you, I'm not sure I can. And I'm up here in the long robe with the long prayers. But what if we take a step in that direction? You know, I mentioned that last Sunday, a number of folks came up to me and said, yes, be bold. And so it was inspired by that that I sent out that supplemental email that maybe you received on Monday and that I followed up with in Wednesday's video in the journal. If you haven't seen those, please take a look at them. Where I wanted to offer some resources. Remember last week, I suggested go back and read every one of those parables and look at where you might be invited to change your life in a real and tangible way. But I gave you some more resources. Maybe you might want to figure out some new ways of reading your Bible, and I gave you an online resource about that. And because this was email and a video that's distributed by email, all the resources were online. If I say any of these things and you want to know more about this, but you're not a digital person, let me know and I'll get this stuff to you. You might want to spend more time in prayer and devotion. And I mentioned an online resource for the Upper Room, which we also have in print. As we conclude our stewardship time, you might want to talk about how or think about how you give to support the ministries of the church. And you might want to give online, which you can do, or in the offering plate. Or if you haven't already, returned your pledge card, which you can do online, or you can return the card that we mailed to you. And if you don't have one, let me know, and I'll get one for you. You might want to take a leadership role in this congregation. And we have a new page on our website. And if you want this document and paper, I'll get it to you. But we have a new page on our website that shows what all of our leadership roles and what they do and what that commitment generally looks like. And even a form where if you want to fill out that form and submit your name for one of these leadership roles, you can do that as well. How can a change from turning inwardly to outwardly change our lives? How can that mental shift change our lives? You might want to think about it in different words. Maybe you don't want to think about it as turning from inward to outward. Maybe you might want to think about it as, well, instead of looking at earthly things, I'm going to look at heavenly things. Does that sound familiar? Because I think they're connected. This widow, she gave her life. Not in the way that the veterans that we'll celebrate on Memorial Day have. In a different way. In a massive way. She gave her spirit and her love and her energy and her dedication and her focus and her heart. In those two coins, she gave it all. We may not feel comfortable giving everything we have, but what if we step in that direction? And then practice by taking another step in that direction and another step in that direction and another step in that direction. What if we invite others on that journey? And what if, as momentum shifts to people looking at heavenly things, looking outwardly, giving everything we have, what if the light of God's presence shines even more fully, or at least our eyes are more open to see it, and the world changes? I think that can happen, my friends. And I think it cannot happen without you. I think the world can change, and I think it cannot happen without you. Let us give everything we have. Amen. We're now that we've completed the stewardship season, we're returning to a time where, rather than a stewardship video, we'll talk about a tangible way that we might respond to the time of worship that we experience. And I would like to really recall something that I've already said during this time of worship. I mentioned last week You might go back and read those parables. And if you haven't done that, I'd still like to invite you to do that. If you want to know what those parables are, you can find them on our website. If you can't find them on our website, let me know, and I'd be happy to make sure that you get access to all of those things. You might want to look at how often do I read my Bible and how might I step that up. You might want to look at, well, what about my prayer life? How much time do I spend in prayer? For what am I praying? And how can I be inspired to make a positive change in my prayer life, maybe with an Upper Room devotional or another resource? How am I supporting the ministries of the church with my prayers, my presence, my gifts, my service, and my witness? If I come to church 3 times a month, maybe I can come 4 times a month. If I come 2 times a month, maybe 3 times a month. If I come once a month, maybe 2x a month. Maybe I can think about prayerfully what my offering is to the financial contributions to the church, and how I can prayerfully consider how God is calling me to make an adjustment there. If you're not a member of this church and you want to talk about that, I'd be happy to have that conversation with you too, because I believe community changes us for the better. Over the course of this week, not unlike last week, consider these things and how you might give of who you are and your spirit and your energy and love, and see how it changes you and how it empowers you to change the world. Thank you.